So tell me, how is The Voice after double overtime and 147 points for the Cavs the other night?
What a wild, wild game, you know. And it, of course, was the debut of the Nets' big three, and they come into town, and the Cavaliers went toe-to-toe with the big three and came away with a victory in big part because Colin Sexton was huge down the stretch. But what a game, you know, and for a Cavalier team that's trying to prove something, you know, and trying to take that next step. Certainly a feel-good win for the Cavs, but a wild one two nights ago, and part two, Cavs and Nets, takes place tonight.
Well, first of all, what was your reaction to James Harden leaving, being traded from Houston and joining the ranks of the Eastern Conference?
Well, it certainly changed the landscape in the East, doesn't it? You know, a situation where was unhappy in Houston. You know, Brooklyn, they paid a pretty penny for him. You know, they traded three first-round picks, four first-round swaps. So, you know, either their pick will go outright to Houston or Houston has the right to swap for the next seven straight seasons up until the 2028 draft. So, like I said, pretty penny, but, you know, the prevailing thought right now, John, you have a chance to win this thing. You have the horses right now. You go and you get that extra guy in James Harden. So, boy, what a, you know, arsenal of offensive weaponry now in Brooklyn. Three guys that, you know, you look at the one-on-one talent of that trio, maybe the most one-on-one talent that a team has ever assembled in the NBA. So it's a team certainly that can score. My reaction was not all that surprised. I mean, I think a lot of folks thought that that may be a destination for James Harden if he gets out of Houston. The Brooklyn clearly wanted him, and now off we go as we get to see just how dynamic that trio works together, whether they're able to sustain it. You know, offensively, we know what they can do, but do they have the supporting cast? Are they willing to play enough defense to win a title? It's going to all unfold, but man, is it going to be interesting over the next couple of months.
It sure is, and no doubt about it, one of the big pieces of the puzzle that Brooklyn hopes is in place is somebody that you saw front and center for a good number of years, and there's so much that's going on in Kyrie Irving's world. Jimmy and I have been talking about it, and the kind of our consensus is he's got so many different things that he is interested in. I just don't know that he's honed in on the focus of his game and all he can be as a player with the Nets at this point in time. Do you think perhaps that's the biggest hurdle for him? And what do you think he could mean to Brooklyn if indeed he is locked in and locked on?
Hard to say in terms of, you know, getting in inside what's in the young man's mind right now. Mm-hmm. But boy, when he plays, he is one of the best. He's simply electric. And, you know, I mean, a big question right now is how they're all going to fit together. And I think it's going to take a lot of sacrifice, you know, from both Durant and Harden, but also from Kyrie to try to make this thing work. So it's, you know, it's hard to say in terms of where his head is, in terms of wanting to be there on the floor. But when he's engaged, he's one of the best. And I think it's really going to be interesting to see how this unfolds. You know, John, we heard the same questions when Kevin Durant was going to Golden State, mm-hmm. right? I mean, Steph Curry, Klay Thompson playing a lot with the ball in their hands. And some said, you know, are there enough basketballs to go around? Steve Kerr said, you kidding me? This is a four-time scoring champ. I'll take Kevin Durant, and it's going to be on us to find a way to get this to work. I think Brooklyn's in the same boat. I mean, Steve Nash has got to be saying, I don't care. It's on me. I got to figure out how to make this trio work best together. And like I said, I mean, there's no denying. I mean, so much talent there on the offensive end. Now can they get it all together? They have a lot of time. I mean, they have months and months to get it to work. You know, you look at the regular season for the Nets, not all that important. It's getting into a spot where you're, you know, playing your best basketball going into the playoffs. So there are so many intriguing questions, so many storylines with that team now surrounding the Brooklyn Nets. Like I said, I think it's going to be fun watching it all unfold.
Talk about Steve Nash. I mean, as you just mentioned, he's got this on his plate, and there are a lot of coaches that wish they had this kind of problem, for lack of a better word. But how do you think this works for a first-time, first-year head coach, and how much of that might be offset by the fact that he knows what it's like to be a good teammate, knows what it's like to manage personalities as he ran the offense with the Jazz, with Carmelo and everybody else? What do you think about Steve Nash and what he's doing right now and what he can do?
It's a really good question. You know, and you want to talk about a pressure-packed spot, not only for a first-year head coach in the NBA, but a first-year head coach at any level. Mm-hmm. You know, he steps into this situation. There was a lot of pressure to begin with. you get Harden, and you want to talk about pushing your chips all into the center of the table, they've got to win now. You know, they have about a 2-year window to try to get this done before, you know, some of these guys can start to splinter off. So I think there's a ton of pressure on Steve Nash. I think he was smart to bring in Mike D'Antoni. Obviously, he has familiarity with, you know, D'Antoni, who ran that system that Steve Nash excelled in Phoenix, kept Jacques Vaughn around to deal with the defensive side. So I think he's smart in surrounding himself with some really, really good basketball minds. But the pressure is high and the pressure is on. And for a mild-mannered guy in Steve Nash, it's going to be interesting to see how this works. You know, and, you know, we've heard from Kyrie Irving that during the offseason, much was made of him saying, we don't really even need a coach. You know, we're that good at being able to get it together and know what to do out there on the floor ourselves. So, you know, like I said, the pressure's on for Steve Nash. Can he get this team to a spot where they are going to be obviously a threat in the Eastern Conference, obviously a threat to win the finals? It remains to be seen.
Colin Sexton, no doubt, was the star of the show in the double overtime win for the Cavs. And what have you seen in terms of reaching back to last year? First of all, this string of 20-plus point games is unbelievable, a franchise record, and that includes a franchise that was, oh, yeah, LeBron James. What do you think in terms of the growth we've seen out of the young bull?
It's been fantastic. It really has. And you know, we're talking about a player, John, whose game was much maligned over his first two seasons for not being able to get his teammates involved. Cavs had him at the point guard spot where he played during his 1 year in college at Alabama. And it became clear that, look, this is a scoring guard. This isn't necessarily a guy who is built to set up his teammates. Gets moved to the two, and, you know, the results, I think, speak for themselves. You talked about it. And, you know, not only is he able to score the basketball, J.B. Bickerstaff has said this kid rolls out of bed and he's able to get 20 points in the NBA, but we have seen him making his teammates better. And I think when you compound that with the scoring numbers, that's what has, you know, highlighted this kid. That's what's put him into a position where people around the country are starting to take notice of Colin Sexton and what he's doing, you know, at the age of 21, you know, and what he's doing in just his third NBA season. So it's, his growth has been enormous. I know the front office, you know, has been thrilled. They picked him obviously in the lottery 3 seasons ago at that number 8 overall spot. And this is exactly what they envisioned. And man, is he playing some ball. 2 nights ago in that game, he had 20 points in regulation, 21, John, in the second or the first and second overtime sessions to lead the Cavaliers to victory in that game 1 against the Nets.
There's so much youth that Cleveland is starting to accumulate. What do you think in terms of the pieces that came to the Cavaliers in that 4-team trade that sent Harden from Houston to Brooklyn in Jared Allen and Taurean Prince?
Well, the Cavs have had their eye on Allen for a long time, and they bring in this young center who, again, we're talking about a young player, fits the timeline for the Cavs in terms of that young core when talking about his age. But, man, you want to talk about a guy who got the confidence of his head coach right off the bat. It was Allen who was in that ball game in the fourth quarter in both overtime sessions playing that center position. So this is a guy that they wanted. He knows his role well. He protects that rim, and that was on display in his Cavalier debut. Then Taurean Prince, a guy who's been around a little bit, his first 3 seasons in Atlanta, last year in Brooklyn, a 3-and-D type player, and he was great in his Cavalier debut. Hit the dagger late in the second overtime to finish it off, but he provides also some length. This is the Cavs team, Johnny, you think about last season, 30th in terms of defensive rating. This season, they've consistently been in the top 5 in big part because of that length. And not just length in the paint, but also length out around the perimeter. Prince adds to that. Isaac Okoro, of course, has been a big, long perimeter defender for the Cavs. We know what Larry Nance can do. So that's something that's transformed almost overnight. And Jared Allen and Taurean Prince certainly add to the aspect of the Cavaliers game that they have been trying to improve over the last couple of seasons, and we've seen it come to fruition here in the early part of this year.
The NBA season last year finished in the bubble, and this year there are serious protocols and practices in place to try and make sure that you don't have to go back to a bubble. But with what's going on in Washington, which the Cavs had 2 games come off their schedule with what the Wizards are going through, tell me, how do you feel the league is approaching this? And from your vantage point, how do you think Cleveland's handled it? Looks like they're doing all they can to make sure everybody can stay on the floor as long as they don't get injured, which unfortunately has been a problem.
Right, and I'll answer the second one first. The Cavs, fortunately, have not had to deal with much in terms of the health and safety protocols. They've been pretty clean. But I think the NBA's approach was realistic, you know, in the way that they broke up the schedule. We only know the first half of the schedule right now, and that's precisely because the NBA knew teams were going to be missing games. They knew games were going to be postponed, so they held off, and they're going to put them into the second half of the schedule. And you look at a team like the Wizards. I mean, they've had a wealth of games canceled already. They're going to be busy come March, April, and May down the stretch. So, you know, it likely will bite teams that are having games postponed here early. But I think like I said, I think the NBA certainly anticipated this. I like the fact they split the schedule into two. It's a wildly new dynamic in the NBA, but I think they did what they needed to do to put themselves in a position where they can still finish this season on time. Just might be a little more hectic in the second half of the year.
And it was great to see, and I know there's nothing you could appreciate more than having Mr. Cavalier Austin Carr back with you on the broadcast. It was great to see him pull through his bout.
No question. The Cavs have been pretty clean in terms of being on the floor, but unfortunately Austin was in health and safety protocol for a couple of weeks. But Mr. Cavalier is always terrific to have back. And boy, the Cavs couldn't have welcomed back with a better effort than they had in the double overtime win two nights ago.
Well, exciting times. If it started right now in the playoffs, the Cavs would be the sixth seed in the Eastern Conference. John, always great to catch up with you. Good luck. Have a great call tonight against the Nets in round two against Brooklyn, and we can't wait to catch up with you again down the road.
Thanks so much. Always a pleasure. Good catching up with you, too.